We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. We wait on you and your triumphant return. We wait on you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, and Jesus, we love you. You are worthy, and Jesus, we love you. Would that be our prayer this morning?
All things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You call your sun to shine. Shine on darkest night.
of that. Sing it out.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the world. A heart adored. How we love you.
So, Lord, we just declare that we are yours. God, we surrender this morning as you remind us to come boldly to the throne, Lord. We come boldly to the throne, but we also lay down our very lives. We surrender ourselves to you. There's a scripture from Romans chapter 12. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And so this morning I invite us to think about what that phrase means, one that he will find acceptable. What has our week looked like? Have we been surrendering to a holy and righteous Father? He is worthy of our best. He is willing to love us in our mess. But as we evaluate what it means to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ collectively, are we willing to lay our own lives at the altar to be a holy and pleasing sacrifice for a holy and worthy God? Would we just spend some time dwelling in the presence of the Father this morning? This next song invites us to come into the tabernacle and to dwell with the Father, but to come first to the altar, to be a people of surrender, a people who would be willing to lay down, despite what we want, what our dreams and our wills are, whatever the Lord wants to do in us this morning. I just pray that we would catch a glimpse of that collectively, that we would take time to listen. Speak to us, Father. We are listening.
Here's my life as a sacrifice. I'll be the incense, the sweetest fragrance. Holy, yours, consecrated for only you, Lord. Just for you, Lord. And I'm your temple, a dwelling place for you. And Lord, make my heart a pleasing home for you.
surrender to you, Father. We'll sing, in your house I will live.
In your house I will daily live, fixed on one thing, to see your beauty.
We want to see you, Lord,
'cause you alone are worth more than gold. I'll trade the world for a day.
It's only then that we can sing and declare the praises of God. It's only after we've made ourselves available to become the sacrifice that we can even access the presence of God in worship. He is worthy of thanksgiving and surrender. And until we align our hearts with that truth, our sacrifice is unworthy. And so, God, we just repent for those moments, Lord, where we've made it about us, where we've put our preferences on the throne instead of you. God, we cannot remove you from that seat. It is yours and it is yours alone. So, God, would you just align our hearts with the spirit of love and gentleness? Unify us as one body, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. So we sing this doxology together to remember that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit above it all. We sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We sing amen.
So, Father, this morning we just come to you once again, Lord, as we raise our voices and as we raise our hands and as we put our focus on you and give our lives and our hearts to you this morning, Lord. We just cry out and we know and we acknowledge and we stand on the truth that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we come to you this morning, Lord, because we come from all kinds of places with so much on our hearts. With lives that are touched by this world and where we see things that seem so out of control. But Lord, we are reminded when we focus on you that you are never out of control. That you are here. You see each and every one of us. And we declare our love for you this morning. And we pray all this in your precious Son's name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So as you guys take a seat, we're going to continue our time of worship. We're going to ask our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. And this is just a time where we are able to give back. This is continuation of worship in a time in which we say and we believe and we know that we have to give all of who we are, all of what we have back to Him, because we only have life. We only have saved lives because of Jesus. And so we constantly give back to Him. Now, one of the things that I love as the baskets go around and we talk about the pantry all the time here at New Life, one of the things I want to say is that it is an incredible ministry. I love getting to know people, getting to reach out to people, but I got to tell you this, the pantry shelves are empty. We are out of food, and so we wanted to let you know from up here this morning that we really could use donations of any kind. And so we take donations all week long, Sunday through Thursday. And so if you want to, they're not buckets. They're boxes at the ends of all the aisles. You can take it to the front office. You can drop it off at the pantry. If wherever you put it, we will find it. We will come get it. So we are looking for donations of all kinds. There's all specific things we need like milk and eggs and staples like bread. But we are definitely out. We have seen an increase in numbers of people who are coming to the pantry and who are receiving food. And so it just is a statement of our time and how hard it can be for some of us. And so we appreciate all that you do, all of your donations. And so if you have time, if you have the ability, if you can help us out, we would really appreciate that. And so one of the things, as you're going out this morning, if you could just go out into the lobby, it is the fall kickoff, like they said, if you weren't here this morning when we first started, we have just opportunities galore for growth. We want you to grow beyond the weekend. And so pick up a card. You can find out more about pantry needs. You can find out about women's Bible studies, all the things that launch this fall. And so take a moment to just try to figure out where to fit, where to take a step of faith, and then just kind of put yourself out there and grow beyond the weekend. And so this morning, I'm excited. I don't know, some of you are newish to our church, and so maybe you haven't had the chance to hear Pastor Vince Lamas, but probably one of my favorite people on the face of the earth. He's probably a true angel. I know that Pastor David's going to say a few words of him and who he is and what he does here, but as a visitation pastor, as a friend, as one of my mentors in becoming a pastor, I just wanted to be able to say, like, you guys are in for a treat. He doesn't do this very often, but there is so much wisdom in this man, and there is so much love in this guy, and I just wanted to say I love you, and I am so excited for all of you. So if you prepare your hearts and to hear what Pastor David has to say.
Good morning, New Life. This morning, you have the opportunity to hear a word of the Lord from Pastor Vince. If you've ever had a conversation with Vince or spoken to him or even gotten a hug, it's as if you've had a conversation, spoken with, or gotten a hug from Jesus himself. And so take open your Bibles, pull out your pens, maybe even your phone, and get ready to take notes on Colossians chapter 4.
Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you today, and it's good to see all of you. So this morning we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be focusing on Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, that says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Now, one of the things that we want to address today, maybe the main thing we want to talk about, is that when we pray at times, we may feel like our prayers aren't being answered. Or maybe even worse, that God's not even listening to us, right? I know, you know, my wife Mary will tell me things like, you know, but I told you that. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, really? You did, huh? And so, you know, we all want to be heard and listened to, right? Don't we all want, I mean, that's something we all want. We want to be heard and listened to. And especially when we go to God in prayer, we want to have the sense that God is really hearing us, that he knows the situation, he cares about us, and he is answering our prayers, he's working on our behalf. And that's just a very hard thing when we feel that's not happening. But even if it seems that way, the Bible presents to us a God who deeply cares about us. A God who continually is working in our lives, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it. And so the counsel that the Apostle Paul would give us from his prison cell here in Colossians 4:2 is this, that if you're in a place today, you've been through a season where, you know, you're thinking, man, I've prayed, I've given these things to God, and gosh, nothing's happening. I feel like I pray and my prayers hit the ceiling. Well, if you have that sense, Paul's counsel to us today would be this: devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So we're going to talk about that this morning, okay? So let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for being such a good God, a faithful God, a God who loves us. And so I pray that through the power of your Spirit, Lord, through your word, that you might, Lord, bring a comfort and a hope to our hearts, Lord, knowing that when we come to you in prayer, that you do hear us, Lord, and you do care, Lord. We don't always understand your plans, your purposes, Lord, your timing. And yet, Lord, I pray that today that we would all have a greater sense of the love that you have for us. So please, Lord, today, Lord, help us, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, our first point this morning is this, is that we need in these times, maybe we can call it a spiritual dryness, a time that we're not sure that God's hearing us, we need to stay persistent in our prayers. We need to stay persistent in our prayers. Now, thinking about prayer, the simplest definition that I found was that it's communicating with God, that prayer is communicating with God. We come before God. We talk to God. We ask God to do certain things. We confess our sins. We thank him. We praise him. Prayer is an act of trust, right? I mean, we come to God and we trust that he's listening to us. It's also an act of dependence. We recognize that this world that we live in, that there's things that we face, things that happen to us that are beyond our control, beyond our resources, beyond what we can do. And so it is an act of dependence. It's an act of relationship. We have that wonderful invitation in the book of Hebrews to come boldly to God's throne of grace. And that idea of boldness is this sense of, whatever it is, bring it to God. Whatever's on your heart, bring it to God. Whatever it is, wherever you are, just bring it to him. We have that opportunity in prayer. So it is an act of trust, dependence. It's an act of relationship. It's communicating with God. And so Paul tells us in this passage to devote ourselves to prayer. Now, the word devote, several meanings in the Greek, has the sense of to keep on doing something. That if you devote yourself to something, you're going to keep on doing it, or you're going to persist in it. For instance, about once a month, I'll head up to Captain Nemo's and get a Spider-Man comic book. I'm persistent in doing that. Every morning, my wife Mary and I will take our dogs out for a walk. We're persistent in that. I had a green drink this morning, like I always do. That's something I'm just persistent in. And we are also invited to be persistent in prayer, to devote ourselves to it, especially in those times where we may feel like we have a disconnection with God, that we're not sure that God's really hearing what we're talking to him about, what we're asking for, the help we need. We don't feel like we're getting it, but we need to persist in that, to be persistent in prayer. Now prayer is, we recognize, is so important because one thing, it keeps us connected to God, doesn't it? That when we come to God in prayer, it connects us with him. And again, it reminds us of how much we need God in our lives, right? And we sang this morning. I mean, we're desperate for God. We're dependent on God. We need the Lord. And we also recognize that prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. I read this quote. It says that prayer is powerful. When people work, they work. When people pray, God works. Prayer is a powerful thing. And the Apostle Paul models this in this section of Scripture. In verses 3 and 4, and I've always thought of the Apostle Paul as, I'm a little bit older, so, these might be older references, but, kind of like, the Babe Ruth of missionaries, right? You know, the Babe Ruth of pastors. You know, I guess as contemporary as I get is Michael Jordan. You know, he's the Michael Jordan of missions. But he even said this, though, in verse 3. He said, pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. And then a second time he says in verse 4, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. And so even the Apostle Paul, you know, probably the greatest missionary who ever lived, is asking for prayer, prayer for opportunities, prayer for a clear message. Paul is demonstrating to us this persistence in prayer. Now, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus gave us this beautiful parable about being persistent in prayer. Because you might be sitting here today, and I realize, you know, you're here, you're feeling frustrated with God, you're feeling frustrated with your prayer life. And yet Jesus gave this parable in Luke chapter 18, where it says in verse 1, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And so he talks about this story. He says, there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but I love this line, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Now that, you know, that parable is one that you would call a how much more parable. That how much more if this evil, uncaring judge would help this poor widow out, how much more a God who loves us, who cares about us, will hear our prayers and answer them according to his own way and in his own time. You know, how much more God will do that for us. But the point of the parable is this, is that we need to keep praying. And again, especially if you have a sense that, you know, things just aren't going right. I feel disconnected with God, and maybe, you know, I admit, you know, when things aren't going so good, things are, you know, tricky, you know, we feel this disconnection. It's hard to keep pushing on with something. And yet God's heart for you and I. word alert could also be translated as vigilant, to be watchful. It was actually used for a guard at night who had to keep track of things in the night hours. You know, a guard at night, you know, had to be very vigilant. They had to be watchful. And that is something that God calls us into, especially in these times where we feel like maybe, you know, is God hearing my prayers? I prayed about these things, you know, is God, you know, does God care? And the truth is we have to be watchful for what God is doing. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul said this, praying in the Spirit at all times on an every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. You know, and it's just amazing when God does something absolutely incredible. It could only be God, right? I mean, you hear about stories of, you know, of people having talked to a relative for years and years, and then this person needs, you know, $5,000, and then they get a $5,000 check from this relative. You know, it's an incredible thing, or a healing that takes place. And yet also we need to recognize, though, in the sense of being watchful for what God is doing, is that at times God works a lot quieter and more subtly, doesn't he? You know, at times, you know, you're praying about something and we miss it. We miss God's answers because we were expecting something big and huge. And yet God slips in, does something quiet, something a little bit smaller, but no less profound. Back in 2010, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. You know, and did, you know, kind of took the natural route, you know, started, you know, eating right, doing my green drinks. You know, I've been doing green drinks for over 12 years now. You know, the supplements, you know, seeking medical care maybe from a different perspective. But unfortunately, my PSA kept, you know, kind of kept going up. Now, I kept praying for a miracle. I kept praying for a healing, you know, kind of waiting, you know, for something, you know, big to happen. But what the Lord decided to do was two brothers from our prostate cancer support group, and if there's any man here who's dealing with prostate issues, every third Thursday of the month at 10 o'clock in the Community Center Cafe, we have a prostate cancer support group. But two brothers from that group came up to me and said, you know, Vince, we think you need to do something different. We think you need to take some more steps than you've been taking. And thinking back on that conversation, because of their love for me, because God provided that moment with them, I ended up having a surgery at the end of 2017. I've gone through radiation, had a hormone therapy. You know, I've been off it for a year now. You know, I don't cry as much when I see commercials. you know, but God in his loving, gentle way gave me these two brothers to come to me and say, hey, you know, you need to do something different. And, you know, not to be dramatic, but I really do feel like the Lord used these guys to save my life. And I, you know, and again, it wasn't the healing that I was expecting. But, you know, after being off of hormone therapy for over a year, my PSA only has risen to 0.1. And I just thank the Lord for that. So we need to be watchful for what God is doing. We need to be persistent in our prayers, but we also need to be watchful that maybe we're missing those precious answers to prayer because we're looking for something just big and huge. And yet God in his love for us is providing something, you know, very quiet, very gentle, very subtle. Again, in this passage, you know, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Now, thirdly, you know, to be persistent in our prayers, to watch for what God is doing. Again, you know, thinking specifically for any of you here today that maybe are, you know, are struggling in your walk with God, struggling in your prayer life. You're wondering, You know, does God care about me? Is he really listening to me? It says, you know, have a thankful heart. And so we need to just keep in mind that we really do need to make gratitude a priority. We need to make gratitude a priority. And I realize that, you know, if you're, you know, having a tough time in your prayer life, you're not seeing prayers answered, or you're, you know, your things are happening that you weren't praying for, and you're thinking, what is going on here? I realize it's hard at that point maybe to have this thankful heart, you know, to have a sense of gratitude. And yet it is absolutely necessary, though, for you and I in our walk to have that thankful heart. So if we persist in our prayers and watch for what God is doing, we can get to that place of thankfulness. But I also realize, though, it may be necessary for you and I to take a trip down memory lane and to think about what God has done for us in the past. In Psalm 77, which was written by Asaph, in Psalm 77, it is no doubt a time of difficulty, maybe in the nation of Israel, in Asaph's life. But he asked these series of questions. He says, and, you know, and wonder, you know, does anyone feel this way? Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never be kind to me again? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Has his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? You know, have you ever felt that way? You know, God, where's your love? Where's your compassion, Lord? You made these promises, but I don't see anything happening. You know, it's a tough psalm. But there's a turn, though, in verse 11, where he writes this. He says, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. So, you know, for just a moment, let's say you're in this period of time where you feel like, man, I cannot thank God for anything. I cannot make gratitude a priority in my life because there's nothing to thank God for. According to this psalm, psalmist says, go back and remember. Remember for how God provided, you know, at that time. You know, I was just thinking, our older son David just turned 31. You know, he was born with a blood infection and almost died. Ended up being in the hospital, and, you know, and now he's 31 years old. You know, a little over 25 years ago, I was unemployed. I had been at a church, and you know, for lack of a better word, they fired me. You know, just they let me go. Maybe that's a nicer way to say it. But, you know, we've been a part of the New Life family now for over 25 years. I getting the cancer diagnosis, you know, going through the surgery, the radiation, all these things, being able to look back on how God has provided, what God has done. And again, you know, being married to my precious wife, Mary, for 36 years. You know, if you are struggling today, go back and remember what God has done for you. Maybe you are in a time, maybe you look ahead and you see tough, tough days ahead. But go back and remember what God has done for you, because God is still faithful. God still loves you. God has made a promise he will never leave you or forsake you. You know that Hebrews 13:8 passage that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And what he has done for you in the past, how he has felt about you in the past, is how he feels about you today. He will never leave you or forsake you. You know, this passage, this Colossians 4:2, you know, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, you know, comes back down to this, is God's love for you and I, right? God loves us. I was just reading a story that I shared with Pastor Nick. that one of the students of John the Apostle, St. John, came to him complaining, you know, because, you know, John, right? He's the apostle of love, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you know. And he came up to the apostle John and he said, you know, can't we talk about anything else? You're always talking about love. Can't we talk about anything else? And the apostle John said, there is nothing else. And so as you devote yourself to prayer, as you persist in it, as you watch for what God is doing, and as you make gratitude a priority, just remember that as you devote yourself to prayer, God has already devoted himself to you because he loves you. He loves you. He's not going to let anything snatch you out of his hands. He's not going to let anything separate you from his love. You know, things might be a little mysterious and challenging now, but God loves you with an everlasting love. So let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can be persistent in our prayers, that we can watch for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, and we can even make gratitude a priority, Lord, even in the toughest of times, because you're such a good God and you are so great and you love us so much. Lord, I just pray that today that for anyone that is here that is struggling, Lord, that is in a place of heartache, Lord God, that even is in a place of confusion, that precious Lord, that you would draw that person, Lord, that you would draw each of us closer to you, and that even in the midst of the challenge, Lord, even in the midst of the tough times, that you would draw us close to you, Lord, and may we hear your voice tell us, I love you. So Jesus, we commit ourselves to you now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
So what we're going to do now is we're just going to spend a few minutes to pray for one another. To pray with one another. And I'd like to invite the prayer servants forward. For anyone who just feels like you need someone to pray for you or to pray with you, if that's you as an individual or you with a family or you with friends, come to the altar during this song. We'll spend time ministering to the Lord in prayer. And then if you came with a family, you came with friends, but you don't want to come to the altar, that is fine too. Would you just pray with one another? Would you just pray, even if it's the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's just spend some time in prayer, practicing what was preached. Can we do that together? Amen. Okay. You're welcome to come to the altar. And staff and pastors who are in the congregation too, would we just look for opportunities to pray with one another in Jesus' name. God, we invite you now at this time. We ask that we would remember what you have done in the past. We ask that we would remember your faithfulness. You are worthy. As we communicate with you now, we pray for greater intimacy in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you guide our hearts, Lord? Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. Thank you.
Lord, where grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. My song to rise to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. Temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Oh God, how I need you.
As we prepare to go today, I really do hope and pray that if any of you, you know, do need prayer, maybe more prayer, please come on up. Don't forget, there's the pizza with the pastor, right, Nick, at 12:30 today.
After second service.
Right after second service. Thank you. We worked that out to do that together.
In the lobby.
So in the lobby. But I know God's heart for all of us is to have a relationship with Him, and part of that relationship is to pray. And so please, as you go, commit to being persistent in prayer. Commit to watching what God is doing in your life. And through the power of the Spirit, make gratitude a priority. And so God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here today. God bless you.